talk to you tonight. The pastor has been preaching about knowing God. And I just want to kind of tag on to that, a message that I have ministered before. But I feel like that the truth just needs to be presented. There's new people, new faces. And so I want to answer four questions about the Holy Spirit. Knowing God, one of the greatest ways you can know God is to know God by the power and the fellowship and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures and put your finger in the book of John. Acts 1, Acts 2, and John chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, and John chapter 2. And this is a fairly decent crowd for Sunday night. Thank you for coming back tonight and our young people that are here. Tyler do a wonderful, wonderful job tonight. Amen. Amen. Good job, buddy. Mr. Tyler, we are just so thankful that you are using your talents for the Lord. And Pastor Nate, is the youth group is beginning to grow and get excited. And we're just thankful for what the Lord is doing at Westmoreland. I said there's more for Westmoreland. Say that with me. There's more for Westmoreland. There's more for Pastor Jerry Nelson. Amen. There's more for all of us tonight, and we certainly miss our pastor tonight. Amen. And his wife. I did talk to him before the service, and he's doing well, and we're just believing Tess will be good tomorrow, and he'll be able to come home. Can we believe that? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. I got to do two things at one time. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria unto the utmost part. Now stop right there. When you read a scripture that you've read 100 times, you kind of need to stop and let it digest. You shall receive what? Does anybody need power? Don't you hate it when the lights go out? There's a lot of churches, the lights are out. I'm not talking about electricity from CP&L. I'm talking, or Duke Energy. That is old, isn't it, CP&L? But the lights are, the power's not, is out. Amen? After that, the power of the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Notice it says something comes upon you. Now, I want to talk about that tonight. Now, go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is our classical Pentecostal treatise scripture, foundational scripture that we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you're there, say amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the word Pentecost means 50, pent, 5. Pentecost means 50, the Passover, and then 50 days after the Passover was the day, the Jewish calendar of Pentecost. It was the what they called the first fruits, the first gleanings of the harvest that was planted back in the earlier part of the year. And so that's what it means when it says Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Jewish day of Pentecost, on that day they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, those two words, say it with me, and suddenly. Now that word, and suddenly, is part of what God is doing this year in Westmoreland. We're going to see some suddenlies this year, amen. And suddenly there came a sound from where? As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, it says they were sitting, but they didn't stay sitting, amen. That was just for a moment. Because there appeared, look at verse 3, unto them cloven or divided tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon the pastor. It sat upon the deacon board. It sat upon somebody who's a lot better than me and holier than me. It sat upon each of them. Hallelujah. And it says they were all, say it with me, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That had never happened before. a total new experience. And I want to talk to you tonight about that and explain some things to you. I hope by the Holy Spirit tonight, speaking in tongues, it is just as phenomenal now as it was then. Do you think they got up that morning and said, hey, we're going to speak in tongues today? They had no clue what was coming. Because the truth of the matter is, we've emphasized something and we search for something rather than someone. And when we get someone, then we get something. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Now, I want you to go to John chapter 2, and I'm going to tie this scripture in together. In knowing God, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Brother Blue, just give me a thumbs up. And the third day, something about the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called his disciples to the marriage. And look at verse 3. Read out loud. Verse 3. Read it out loud. And when they, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. I want to talk to you tonight about knowing God. Four great questions that a lot of people have about the Holy Spirit. Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word with power. God, thank you, Lord, for the music we've heard. And God, thank you for the activities of the day. And before we leave this service tonight, may we experience another rush of mighty wind. And may we feel the presence of someone who's going to do something in this place and in our lives tonight. I'm hungry for it, God. I pray for it, God. Our teenagers need it, God. This country needs it. This church needs it. My church needs it. We all need it. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of God. And you may be seated. Questions. We all have questions. I'm going to give you some funny questions that I've often asked or people have asked. Why is it called hamburger when it is made out of beef? Isn't that a crazy question? Why do you put suits in garment bags and garments in suitcases? I'm going slow so y'all can think this through for me. Why doesn't glue stick inside the bottle? Have you thought about that? These are questions. Why do you drive on a parkway? Listen, you drive on a parkway, Raleigh Road Parkway, you drive, but you park on your driveway. Why is it that you tell someone, you can tell a scientist can come in here and tell you there are 400 billion stars in the galaxy and you believe it. But if you put wet paint on the Royal Ranger Fort on the wall, if you put wet paint on it, they're going to do what? Isn't that the way it works? I mean, these are crazy and interesting questions. Well, I want to ask some questions tonight. That these questions that I'm going to ask tonight are questions that will move your life, minister to you, minister through you, and change your life forever. As I've been a pastor for all these years, as I've been a student of the Word of God, as I've talked with different people from different denominational backgrounds, these four questions about the Holy Spirit are important questions. A.W. Tozer said that the Holy Spirit was everything to the New Testament church. If you remove the Holy Spirit from the early church, it would have died. He went on to say, if you remove the Holy Spirit from the church today, most of it would go on as if nothing had happened. If we want to be the church that God wants us to be, and the church that God can use in these last days, if we want to see signs and wonders and miracles, if we want to be effective, then now more than ever, we need the power, the anointing, the knowledge, the fullness, and the hunger for something from heaven. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost in our life and in our hearts. And so I want to answer four questions. The first question, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the adorable Godhead. I say that because we don't want to get to the feeling or the thinking that he's a feeling or he's a goose pimple or he's an it. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is part of the triune Godhead. And we really can't put into English terms when we say part, because he's really not a part. He is the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Godhead. The Father is the God. It's not like you have a third, and a third. They're one God in three distinct. Can you figure that out? Can you explain that? Absolutely not. But if you have a God that you can explain, he just might not be God at all. Can I get a witness out there? But just because you can't explain it doesn't take away from the fact that he is not just a force. May the force be with you. No, he's a person. He is a person. God exists in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And people say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the doctrine of the Trinity is all over the Bible. The truth of the Trinity. You cannot honestly read the scriptures without understanding that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptismal formula of Jesus, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus himself, he's in the water, there's a voice from heaven, and the Spirit comes like a dove. Jesus praying to his Father in Gethsemane. Deuteronomy 6:4, the great scripture of the Jewish faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In the Hebrew, the word Lord is Elohim. Anything that has an M on it means plural, literally. It should literally read, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord our gods is one Lord. That's what it literally should translate, but we don't put the S on it because we know it's one God, not three gods. And just like when you have a cherub, if there are more than one cherub, it's a cherubim. And so when you have El, that's God, Elohim. And so you have right there in the Old Testament the DNA of the doctrine of the Trinity. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. I could go over to the epistle doxologies, where I could go over to so much. Everywhere you turn, there is the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy, not three gods, one God, existent in three separate individual persons that we know as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Further proof is John 14, and Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you shall know him. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him, refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. If you go to Hebrews 9:14, there are divine attributes given to God. You know, there are certain attributes that we share in the nature of God. God is holy, and we can be holy to an extent, not like God. God is love, and we can share in love. But there are certain attributes that God has that we can never participate in. For example, God is omnipotent. We can never be omnipotent. That is an attribute that we do not share with God. He is omniscient. I know, husbands, you think you know it all, but your wife will tell you, you are not omniscient. You do not know it all. Teenagers, I know you think you know it all, but you are not omniscient and omnipresent. You know, there's nowhere in the scripture says, be ye omnipresent. Because you just can't. You can't be everywhere at one time. And so look at Hebrews 9. And there's another attribute. Hebrews 9:14. If you're there, say amen. Do we have it? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the what? The eternal Spirit. That's a part of God that we'll never know. You see, God has never been created. There was a time when you were not. There was a time in the 1840s when Elam was not, believe it or not. Amen. There was a time in the 1760s when George Washington and Paul Revere, you were nowhere even thought of in at all humanity. Your great, 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 great granddaddy was here somewhere around these parts. I don't know. But please understand, eternality, God has always been from beginning to end. We don't understand it, but He is the eternal Father. He is the eternal Son, and He is the eternal Spirit. Hallelujah. That I feel moving in this house tonight. Come on and give Him praise. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's a person. He's a person. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The scripture says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can damage this monitor. I can kick it. I can take a hammer and beat it, but I can't grieve it. Grieve is a human word. Now, my wife and I, if I don't get her something for Valentine's Day, like a card and some chocolates and something in a little box or something else, I grieve her because she's expecting those things, or not so much expecting them, but she sure does appreciate it when I show her my love and affection for her on Valentine's Day. And men, you ought to do the same thing. You ought to be prepared for that. We need strong marriages at Westmoreland Church. And the way to have a strong marriage is on days like Valentine's Day is to spend time with your marriage partner, with your spouse. Go to a restaurant. Play a violin, do something. Come on now, I feel the Holy Spirit moving here. Am I going to witness here today? Listen, I believe that we ought to run the aisles. I believe we ought to speak in tongues. But I also believe that with the divorce rate going up in the church, that we need to be take advantage of our marriage in the sense of the opportunities to tell our spouses that we love them. We don't want our marriage to end on a shipwreck. And I don't want some man out there at school where she's teaching to show her a little attention, maybe give her a card for Valentine's. I'm going to knock him out. Amen. I'm telling you right now, Holy Spirit's all over this, but I don't want nobody else taking my woman, and you don't want nobody taking your man, your woman. All you married people, say amen tonight. Praise God, somebody. I don't want to grieve my wife. Listen, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And when we sit there like a knot on the log, or the pastor's up here jumping all around at 73, 2 years, sorry, pastor, I'm prophesying, 73, amen, 72 years of age and beyond, and he's dancing and you're sitting there. Listen, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. He's moving in this church. Get in the flow of it. Lift up holy hands. Throw those legs out. Dance within the... The Bible says, praise Him in the cymbals. Praise Him in the trumpet. Praise Him in the... You glorify the Lord when you yield to the person of the Holy Spirit. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus is Lord. Somebody say, the Father is Lord, and the Spirit is, because He's God. He's not a part of God. He's not a force of God. He is a distinct individual person, and the Lord is that Spirit. And I like this, Sister Clara, when we're the Spirit of the Lord is, do you feel liberty in the house tonight? You know there's liberty. I'll tell you, for 9 months, I preached at churches every week. And I'm not going to tell you what churches I preached at. Westmoreland was one of them during those 9 months between pastoring at Smyrna and coming on staff here. And I can thank the Lord. He opened those doors for me. I never dreamed it. For 25 years, I haven't begged people to let me preach. I've not hardly asked people to let me preach. But God, every Sunday, there's a place for me to preach, because it's not me. It's the Lord working through me. Amen. If God's called you to do something, He'll open the doors that no man can shut. You don't have to go pounding on them. And by the way, if God don't open the door, you don't want to dare walk through it anyway. But I would, hallelujah, thank God for my brother that says I'm letting the Lord open the doors. And I'll tell you something, that I'd go to churches that were, and I'm like, they were so dry. And man, it grieves the spirit. I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or Pentecost. It don't matter the name. It matters our hearts. Let us be open to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. You are welcome here. Flood the place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be in your presence, Lord. I wish somebody say amen tonight. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Godhead. He is a person, and he is God, and we worship him as God. Can you say amen? Number two, what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Number two, that's the second question. Let me tell you, first of all, can we put number two? Have you got number two question up there? That's fine. You may want to just write those down. But what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me answer that question by telling you what it is not. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, as I'm talking tonight, is not the same as being born again. Now, it's true that Jesus said, when you're born again, the Bible says in John chapter 3, when a man is born again, he's born of the water and of the Spirit. And a lot of people get that confused, and they say, well, when I was born again, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. But that is not truly, after further study, exactly the way it is. Why do you say that? Just simply go back to the Word of God. Take what denominations have taught. The C.I. Schofield Study Bible, though I love the Schofield Study Bible, take what a fundamentalist has said or some Pentecostal theologian has said. Just take the Word of God. Because think about that. On the day of Pentecost, there were 120. These were not sinners. These were already saved and born again believers. But something happened to them. Something they weren't really understanding. Something they really couldn't explain after it. All they knew is that in their saved hearts, God had said, there's something more for you. And I want to tell you that this is separate and distinct from salvation. Salvation is a wonderful thing. We come to the altar. We come to the cross. Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Then there's sanctification. That's another doctrine. And I'm not going to go into the differences there. But then there comes that moment where the saved individual, there is not only the salvation where the Spirit comes in through and administers the baptism into the body of Christ, which is where the Spirit, you can't be born again unless the Spirit quickens you. He is an enablement. He is the empowerment of your new birth. Say amen. But there is a separate experience where that is distinct, where you are beyond being saved. Then let me put it to you simple. At salvation, you go to Calvary. But at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like I'm talking about, you go to the upper room. The disciples had both. Can I get a witness out there tonight? And I put it like this a few years ago. Salvation gets you into the family. The baptism helps you to live not so much in the family, but live in the world. The baptism gets you, being born again gets you ready for heaven. The baptism of the Holy Spirit helps you to be a witness on earth. Being born again gets you into the family of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you in the world that God has sent you in. Let me put it, this is Super Bowl Sunday, so let's put it like this. The born again gets you into the ball game. But the baptism helps you make a touchdown. Amen. The born again qualifies you for the race. The baptism gets you across victory lane. Are y'all with me here tonight? And I'm not talking about heaven. Thank God for heaven. When you're born again, you're going to heaven. But how many of you got to go to work tomorrow? How many of you got bills to pay and people to live with and demons to fight and flesh and the world and the devil? That's what the baptism, and there's a world out there that needs a witness, that needs power, that needs something more than just chapter 3, verse subclause A in the church bylaws. We need the power, brother. We need to be plugged into something from heaven. That's the baptism and the Holy Spirit. I've told this before, and you know, preachers have their favorite illustrations, and some of you hear it over and over again, and some of you probably could tell it when you've been under a pastor for so many years. But then there's people who've never heard it. So this is one of my, I heard it from David Jeremiah, who is a Baptist minister. But I thought, man, it was awesome. He said this. He said, after the war, World War II, there were some pictures in a magazine, and it showed three pictures. One picture showed a large tank that was bearing down on this one little soldier standing in the sand. Just as the tank was about to overwhelm him, the second picture showed the soldier had gotten a new weapon called a bazooka, which was this huge, back then, state-of-the-art gun that had just been invented. You know, you put it over your shoulder and that thing's got that white head. And so it was a rocket. It literally launches a rocket. And so it takes out a tank. So the first picture is this big tank, little soldier. The second picture is the soldier. Now he's got a bazooka. So the third picture is this big soldier and a little tank. Do you know what the Holy Spirit will do to you? I'll tell you what it'll do to you. It'll make you have power where you can have more power over all the artillery of the devil that he throws to you. That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout amen tonight. So the third question, the first question is, who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person of the Godhead. Number two, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is something that is beyond and separate than being born again. And then number three, how can I receive this? If this is a separate experience, number one, should I receive it? And number two, how do I receive it? Well, you answer that question. Should you receive it? Is there anything that God has for you that you would say, oh, no, thank you? You with me? You know, kids, you give them their broccoli, you know, give them a slice of pizza, and boy, it's down and gone. We don't need to be like that. And by the way, the Holy Ghost is really more like a slice of pizza than broccoli anyway. That's a bad illustration. But I'm trying to talk about the response to what you really need. Do we need it? Well, you answer that question. I tend to think if Peter, who walked on the water, if he needed it, he was there. And certainly I need it. If all those disciples who saw Jesus feed the multitude, if they needed it, who are we not to need it? And then how do I receive it? Well, let me give you a few things. Luke chapter 11 tells us, number one, simply ask for it. Ask for it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him bread? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for some fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, talking about your sinful nature, you know, God doesn't have a sinful nature. We do. And even when we're good, we still have evil within us to an extent. If you then, being human or being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your earthly children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? There's more for Westmoreland. There's more for the Christian. Thank God for saving me and cleansing me of my sins. But I've got a world to live in. I've got flesh to deal with. I've got high thoughts and that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. This is a rough and dirty world, and there's an atmosphere here, and I need something. I need that bazooka. And the Bible says, if I will ask my Heavenly Father, will He not give it to me? So the first thing to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just simply this. Ask for it. Now, if your child asks for a biscuit, you're not going to tell him, well, now, son, you go over there and you behave yourself and you do this, that, and the other, and you clean up, and I know you're dirty, been playing in the ball field all day, and I'm going to wait till you get all perfect, and then I'll give you a biscuit. No. If the son asks biscuits, now he might get him to wash his hands. Amen. You know, wash your hands before you eat. Amen. And that's fine. That's grace, so you don't want to get germs. But if he asks for, you know, I can just imagine going to Cracker Barrel with Haley and Trinity. They went with me to Cracker Barrel the other night, and I just enjoyed being with them. And people, you know, in the restaurant, you know, they come up and they say, are these your children? And I say, absolutely, they're ours. Don't they look just like us? Amen. And then I ask the Lord to forgive me for telling something I shouldn't be telling. But, you know, when Haley and Trinity go with me to Cracker Barrel and they bring out that plate of biscuits, I don't sit there and hoard it very long, I should say. I'm going to tell you, Miss Haley and Trinity, if they want a biscuit, it's my pleasure to share with them a biscuit because I love the biscuits. Amen. And I want them to enjoy the biscuits. Let me tell you, if Ricky Nims has no problem sharing, and as much as I love a Cracker Barrel biscuit, if I don't have any problem sharing them, let me tell you, God wants to bless you. He wants to fill you. He wants to thrill you. Don't let some preacher on TV tell you it ain't for today. Brother, it's for today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And if you'll ask for it tonight, praise God. You just might be surprised, just like they were on the day of Pentecost. I want the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, in my life. Ask for it, amen. Somebody say, I'm going to ask for it. Say, I'm going to ask for it. Ask for it. Ask for it, amen. Take advantage of this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe in you shall receive. And that brings me to number two. How can I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Not only ask, but believe. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. And I got to hurry up. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. This only would I learn of you, receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by the flesh? Not only ask for the Holy Spirit, but believe He's going to give it to you. Father, the preacher has talked tonight about that wonderful thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you for it, but we got to go one step further and believe Him for it. It is mine, and I am believing God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God to fill teenagers with the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God to fill us afresh. And then the third thing you need to do is obey. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Ask, say the word ask. Everybody. And then believe, say the word believe. And then thirdly, obey. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that. Now listen, if you're walking in open, known sin, if you're cohabitating and not married, if you're sipping on the bottle and getting drunk and things like that, if you're watching pornography and in a sense that you just think it's okay, it's nothing really wrong with it, then you're never going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness out there? If you're harboring unforgiveness to your brother across the church over here, well, I tell you what, they mistreated me. You're not going to speak in tongues a whole lot until you can speak to your brother. Amen. Hello. We can't harbor known sin in our life. We can't have, you know, if we want the Holy Spirit, it's not that we got to be perfect. Because if the Holy Spirit requirement was to be perfect, my goodness, none of us would have it. They used to teach sinless perfection in the early days of the holiness movement. And one of our founders, Good gracious, as much as I know this stuff, his name slips my mind, but he was preaching, Crumpler preached, A.B. Crumpler was preaching, he was preaching sinless perfection. He started the North Carolina Pentecostal Holiness Church, or what we know as the North Carolina Conference today. He started it, and he was preaching, and G.F. Taylor was hearing him preach, and he said, praise God, I've been sanctified for 8 years, and I've not sinned. In 8 years, I've not sinned one time. And Brother Taylor wrote in his journal, he said, the minute he said he hadn't sinned, he just sinned. Because there's a thing called pride. Can I get a witness? But listen, I'm not talking about being perfect, but I am talking about obeying the Lord. When you come to him, say, Lord, to my knowledge, I'm not harboring unforgiveness. I'm not sneaking out and watching porn movies. I'm not cohabitating. If I'm going to have a relationship with a woman, I'm going to marry her and do it the right way. Can I please get some amens out there tonight? Friend, we're living in a day where you just got to be plain. You got to tell people, you cannot do these things. Those that do these things are not candidates for the Holy Spirit, the baptism. We got to clean up. And I mean it in the graceful way. We got to walk the straight and the narrow. We got to deny these worldly things. We got to come out from among them and be you separate. We got to live right, talk right. We got to within, and I'm not talking about in perfection, but in our heart, we've got to say, I shun the evil things of this world. There are places I'm not going to go. There are certain clothes I'm not going to wear and show everything. And I just said that, didn't I? Praise God. I'm going to walk holy. And the Bible says, be ye holy that bear the vessels of the Lord. How many of you want to walk on that straight and narrow way? It's called the highway of holiness. And nobody needs the air therein. We can all walk down that holy highway and be a candidate for that power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. What a life, a holy life and a Holy Ghost filled life. I'm about to have church in this place tonight. Amen. So obey the Lord, believe the Lord, ask, and then yield. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, don't come up here and do this. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, be fluid. Kind of get loose a little bit, you know. Kind of raise your hand a little bit. If the music's going, tap your foot a little bit. Hello. You can't look like one of the presidents on the side of Mount Rushmore and get the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. You got to yield to it. Now I'm going to address something. And Brother Clark, I want you to get ready in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to come up, but just going to get ready. Because I am closing. Whether you believe it or not. Amen. You see, let's talk about the tongues. Preacher, I believe in everything you said, but it's the tongues. A couple of things I want to say about that. My band director in high school, junior high school, his name was Randy Barham. Some of you may know him. He's a good man. He went to a certain church in Bailey, and he was staunch. And I would come on Monday mornings and had been in revival with Steve Edmondson in different churches over at Shiloh and different places. And I'd come in on Monday morning pumped up. Man, we had church and we'd go to South Henderson and the place would be filled. I tell Mr. Barham, I said, I knew Mr. Barham said he was a Christian, but I said, Mr. Barham, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. And he'd look at me with those cutting eyes. He said, I got all the Holy Ghost when I got saved. And I just pray for him, talk to him. And then, you need the Holy Ghost. And he finally, I sat at his desk. I said, Mr. Barham, why don't you get the Holy Ghost? And here's what he told me. He said, I'll tell you why, because speaking in tongues is on the bottom of the list. And I was young. I didn't know how to respond to it. I started to ask him, I said, well, which of the ones on the top of the list does your church participate in? But I wasn't smart enough to do that. I wasn't grown enough to do that. And I certainly wouldn't want to be disrespectful to my teacher. Amen. But I remember, and by the way, the answer to that is he's talking about Corinthians. There's the gift of tongues. When you read the book of Corinthians, you need to read it with these words amplified, for the body, not for your body, but for the body. Yes, when you speak in tongues for the body, there needs to be an interpretation. That means if someone were to stand up and give an utterance in an unknown language, according to the Apostle Paul, someone should also stand up and interpret, or that person should interpret. That's for, what did I say? The. But for your body, when you're in your car driving down I-95 and ain't nobody but you, God, the Father, God, the Son, the Holy Ghost, there is no rule that says you have to have an interpreter when you speak in tongues privately. In fact, it is the first that gives yield to the latter. You can't speak in tongues publicly until you've had spoken tongues privately. So that tells you, go back to the, I realize that in Acts chapter 2, and this is what Mr. Barham told me. He said, in Acts chapter 2, it said they spoke in tongues and all the people understood. They did in Acts 2, but flip over to Acts chapter 8 and they spoke in tongues and there was no interpretation. Why? Because it was the, what I call the, here it is, initial evidence. Say it with me. Initial evidence. Didn't mean it's the only evidence, but it means it was the first and the primary that they said. And then go to Acts chapter 10, and there wasn't 3,000 people. It was a man and about 50 people in his home. And the Bible says they spake in tongues, just like they did on Pentecost. There was no need to interpret because these were, again, the private tongues. On Acts 2, there was people that heard it, but that doesn't mean that had to be, if that had to be that way all the time, then in Acts 8 and Acts 10 and Acts 19, it would have been an interpretation there. You've got to study the scripture. You need to quit listening to some teacher on the internet. Quit listening to some preacher that you've heard, and they may be good things, but listen, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, go by the word of the Lord. And I'll never forget, one day I walked into the band room Monday morning. I had my saxophone in my hand. Mr. Barham was at the office door. I was going to put my band instrument up. And this is, by the way, Darnell, this is Southern Nash Middle where you're teaching at the next 2 weeks. Oh, praise God. When you walk in the band room, you still might feel some anointing from there. Amen. And as I was walking in the door, Mr. Barham looked at me and said, "Brother Nelms." I said, "What?" He said, "I got it last night." And he started speaking in tongues. The power of God hit me. I don't know what happened to that saxophone, but me and him shouted all over that band room. Oh, praise God for somebody that said, "I want it. Whatever God's got, I'm not going to let somebody. I've got it. I want it. Now yield to it." Yield to it. My biggest fear when I was, Brother Clark, please come, because I got to bring this to a close. But my biggest fear my biggest problem when I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. That was my biggest hang up. I had the hardest time. I would feel like speaking in tongues, but something, a little voice inside of my head said, "You better be careful. That ain't the real, like your grandma's got it." And so I just kind of let it die down. And I remember one time, I was out in the woods praying, and I began to speak in tongues just like I did a while ago. And as soon as I spoke in tongues, I stopped it because another voice said, "That's not right. That's not right. You didn't get it right. You better be careful. You might be doing blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It just came all over me, fear." And so I didn't speak in tongues. But I'll never forget, Brother Philip, an evangelist came through our church, and, he read the scripture that if ye being evil, give good gifts to your children. He said, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a serpent? And he said, let me say something to you. If you ask for the Holy Spirit and you feel the tongues coming up and you really can't explain it, and you just feel like speaking those tongues out, don't think it's you and don't think it's some evil thing. Because if you're sincerely asking, he's not going to give you an evil spirit. He's going to give you his Holy Spirit. What you have to do is yield to it. And when you just simply yield to it, and Brother Philip, you can go ahead and start playing. I got up out of my seat that night. I came down to the altar, threw my hands up, and I began to speak in tongues fluently. And I'm telling you, I've never looked back. I've never looked back. I've been at East Carolina University in the dorm room, people drinking and partying, and I'm in my dorm room, and if you would have opened the door and snuck in on me, you'd have heard a 20-year-old speaking in an unknown language. I'm here to tell you there are times in my life when my mother's neck was cracked and I was in a hospital. I prayed in English, but Brother Page, I want you to know something. The Holy Ghost came on me and I began to pray in a heavenly language. It is a gift. It is a powerful thing. Don't let preachers deny you, and the average Christian is not hungry for the deeper things of God. And so none of us get, no sir, we ought to lead the way. We ought to say there is power, wonder working power in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just yield to it. Say, I want it. I need. That's my last question. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do I receive the Holy Spirit? But the most important question that I'm going to ask you tonight, number four, is this: do you want the Holy Spirit? When they ran out of wine, go back to that scripture. John chapter 2, verse 3. Put John chapter 2, verse 3. They ran out of wine. And when they... We always talk about Jesus turned the water into wine. He didn't just turn the water into wine until when? Until they wanted it. Would you stand with me tonight? I want it. Westmoreland, we need it. Teenagers, do you want it? I'm not talking about wine now. No, no, no. And people say, well, that's an excuse to... And I may throw this in. People use that scripture and say, well, that gives... If Jesus turned the water into wine, then that means we can drink alcohol. That's what they say. Don't they say that? And you know what? Might have a point there. So here's my answer. Fill up a glass of water. Would you agree this is water? Let us have a word of prayer. And if he turns it into wine... Guess what? Drink it. But if he doesn't turn it into wine, stay away from it. No Budweiser, no vodka, no Jim Beam. Why would you want that when you've got the power and the person of the Holy Ghost? It is new wine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody want it tonight? I'm not going to beg you to come down, and you might not be, you know, I don't really understand it, friend. I don't understand how a fuel injector works. But after this service, I'm going to let her rip, and it's going to take me home. I don't have to have an explanation. My brain, if you take it out of my head, and I don't mean to be grotesque, but if you take the human brain and put it on a scale, it's only about 4 pounds. You can't put 4 pounds and put the Godhead in there. You just got to, by faith, say, Lord, it's mine. I want to be filled. I want to be thrilled. Do you want the Holy Spirit? And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come right now. As we close in prayer, would you step out of your seat? If you've been filled, I want you to pray this: Lord, refill me. If you've never been filled, I want you to pray, Lord, fill me. Come on down tonight. Go ahead and sing, brother. Yes. He is Lord.
Every knee shall bow.
Every tongue.
Every tongue.
That Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want it? You want it, brother? Come on. Come on up. Do you want it? I want it. I want a Pentecostal church. I want a church full, like on Acts chapter 2. Listen, I think we need wisdom. We need good programs. We need policies. But more than all, we need revival. And we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever. Oh, God, fill us tonight. Just yield tonight. Yield tonight. Come on. Lift your hands up if you want it. If you want to or get a signal. You got to put your antenna up. Here I am, Lord. God, I want it, Lord. I want it, Lord. I know there's debate and doctrine, but Lord, I just want the Holy Spirit. I just want the fullness of the Holy Ghost in my life. Oh, I want that wine. I'm hungry for it. You're not going to give me a serpent. You're going to give me the Holy Ghost. Son, do you want it tonight? Come on. Do you want it? Fill him, Lord, tonight. Oh, God. Here's a vessel, God. Here's a young man that needs more than ever in his life as a teenager the Holy Ghost. Oh God, let him yield to it. Let him flow in it. Let him not be satisfied until he's full. Come on, full of the Holy Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, give her a refill tonight. A refill tonight. Oh, fill these young men with the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Touch my sister tonight. She wants the Lord in His fullness. Hallelujah. 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 I want a refill. I want a refill tonight. Sister Charlene, you're carrying a lot of burdens. God has gifted you with tests and trials.